is really nice, but the noise.
Yeah, is it continuing?
Turn on the air conditioner. I actually prefer natural air a lot more.
Okay, we're rolling with David?
Yes.
Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, we're up to shiur number 2 in Hilchos Tevilas Kelim. Last time, the Siyata Deshmaya, what we had done was Si'ifim HaKdama and Si'ifim Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. There was one part that we left off from Si'if Aleph that we're going to come back to that's brought up by the Nosei Kelim. When the Mechaber makes mention of Kelim HaMetzufim Be'ever, Ever or Avar is Avar is the correct way of pronouncing it. Avar is lead, and lead, of course, is one of the six things that are mentioned in the pasuk that there's a chilul tefilas kelim. And the shach comments. Let's take a look at the shach immediately. In sif katan aleph, oshal zchuches al kelim hametzupim ba'avar, kach tzarach lomer v'hainu kli cheres v'dom en lahen hametzupim ba'avar. Okay, so you have kli cheres and those things that are covered with lead. Hametzupim ba'avar says the shach and sifkatan beis because of iser v'heter that hametzupim b'zchuches dinim kimetzupim ba'avar. So if you have a utensil that had been covered with lead, so then in such a case it's chayv in tefilas kelim. What happens if you have something that was covered in glass? So we learned last week that metal is d'oraisa, glass is d'rabbanan. So nevertheless, the halacha is that it's the same din of mitzupim ba'avar. And therefore, the chiyuv would be to be tovelet even with the bracha, just like glass, you're tovelet with the bracha. Notice the kli is going to be defined as well by its cover. I was about to say its sheen, and that might not be entirely accurate, but it's the edge of the kli. I'll get to the sheen in a second, the veneer. Here, it's not simply a sheen or a veneer. Here, what we're talking about is that there is a full significant layer onto the kli. We're going to discuss what happens if it's simply a sheen or a veneer that we'll get to b'siyata d'shmaya shortly. The Rabbi Akiva Eger talks about something that could qualify as a veneer. Rabbi Akiva Eger that I put on the last minute on the Maror Mekomos in Shachsiv Katan Dalid Yitbelenu. Everybody have that Rabbi Akiva Eger? Yitbelenu below bracha. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, it's on, in my edition, it's on the next page, not on the first page in Siman Kuf Chaf. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, v'im mitzupa bifnim ubevachutz toim bracha, pri chadash, u'mikol makum yeishlom adafke b'mitzupim be'ever, ba'avar. Only if we're talking about where it was covered with lead. Av a glazirt lo yivarech. But a glaze, you would not make a bracha on. So Rabbi Akiva Eger differentiates between the case of, there's no reason to believe that Rabbi Akiva Eger is disagreeing with the Shach. The Shach had told us that mitzupim b'zechuches dinam kimitzupim ba'avar, and therefore the halacha is that you need to make a bracha. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger differentiates between glazirt and something that's mitzupim ba'avar. What's Rabbi Akiva Eger's svara? Well, glazirt is not the same thing as a kli. A glazirt was an added layer of glass that was added to the kli cheres, and that Rabbi Akiva Eger has a suffix on. How are you going to define the kli now? Do you define the kli by what is its primary structure? Or the added layer, for whatever reason that layer is added, could be different kelim, the layer is added. Some it could be it protects the kli, some it gives it a nice shine, for whatever it might be, but at the end of the day, this glazirt, which we're going to need to define a little bit more, this glazirt requires tefillah without a bracha. In the past, we had discussed in Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph, Sivkatan Beis, the Pischei Tshuva spoke about Geshmatz. He spoke about in Sivkatan Beis a case in which you had a utensil that was made of metal, but had been had a Geshmatz, which that was our national public radio piece of information from Leonard Bope, that they used to make these things with, it wasn't clear exactly how they made the top, the cover, the top layer of the utensil, but they suspect in those days that it was made of cheres. And if it was made of cheres, so then in such a case, what is going to be the halacha? Or vice versa, what happens if it's the geschmaltz has a little bit of let's get the case. Let me just describe exactly the case that Sam Sofer was talking about. He said he was talking about Kederas Barzel. You had a metal kli, and then the top of it had a little bit of cheres inside. So is it a kli cheres in terms of blias and you can't kasher it? Or do you say that this level of this amount of gishmalz is not considered significant? And Chassam Sofer was machmir, and he said that you have to take into account the top layer as well. So I just want to point out that this Chassam Sofer is consistent in Hagolas Kalim with this point, that the top veneer is going to be important. Just Rabbi Kiva Eger just adds, if it's just glaziered, so then in such a case, then it could be that it's tefillah without a bracha. That's how Rabbi Kiva Eger leaves it. Now, between the glaziered and the glaziered and the gishmaltz, not so clear what exactly the difference is. I don't think so. I think it works hand in hand. Just Rabbi Kiva Eger is just saying, b'torah safek, you don't make a bracha. I don't think that there's a machlokas. Rabbi Kiva Eger said there's tefillah, but without a bracha. I don't think there's some level of safek, but just like Chassam Sofer had some level of safek. Nevertheless, there is a big hack today. This has profound nafkaminas today, and it affects many, many young married couples. And that is when you get your first set of china. Does your china require tevila? Of course we know that kli cheres does not require tevila. But if you have kli cheres that is covered with a little bit of glass, is that considered a kli cheres, which is potter from tevila, or is it considered glass that's going to be chayiv for tevila? So the way Rav Miller Shlita presented it, as he said, it's the YU Rosh Yeshiva against the rest of the world. He said, Rav Tendler Shlita, Rav Shechter Shlita, and Rav Willig Shlita all hold, and this is how I remember it as well, when I learned it when I was your age, that our Rabbeim were of the opinion, our Rabbeim and the Yeshiva were of the opinion that this doesn't even resemble the case of Rabbi Kiva Eger. The way in which China is made is it's China, and then they spray a little bit of glass material onto the china to create a certain sheen, a certain veneer, possibly to protect the china. But at the end of the day, it's so thin, our Rabbeim argued, it's so thin that it's even less than Rabbi Akiva Eger's glaziers. Hence, in our yeshiva, it's very common for people not to do tefillah on china, because that the china today is even less than the glaziert of Rabbi Kiva Eger. However, Rav Miller said that the minhag in Eretz Yisrael is to do it. Ad kidei kach, just to create a little bit of our own hack for today, Rav Miller himself said he's not so convinced that a fellow who comes to make in Yana Diyoma, for some of the Avrichim Baruch Hashem here, someone who makes Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, he said he's not so convinced that he who followed the psukim of our Rabbeim in New York, that they shouldn't do tefillah now. Because the psak clearly in Hilchos Tefillas Kalim, in Rav Tzvi Kohn's book, and Rav Miller claimed that it's almost absolute, and all the other poskim seem to disagree, and hold that Rabbi Akiva, that it is the case of Rabbi Akiva Eger today, and therefore there would be a requirement. The big nafkamina is to do tefillah on your china. I remember at the time when I got married, I didn't know about, I hadn't yet learned Hilchos Tefillas Kalim and Smita. I'd only learned it a couple of years after I was married. And I actually did Tefillas Kalim in the Tarvadas Mikvah. And it didn't dawn on me that China wouldn't have a field. Because at that time where I had come from, that was a Dover Pashut, that even China, you told the Torah Safek. But it is a big discussion. Yeah, David?
David? No, I got married when I was at YU.
You did tefillah. So Rav Miller, that was one of Rav Miller's points, was that in the Breuer's mikvah, it says beferish that one should be tovo shine without a bracha. But there is a definitely some of our big rabbeim say it. Now, what Rav Miller did not mention was I found a Rav Moshe that might be a little bit closer to the YU Rosh Yeshiva, Ramosha that we touched on a little bit. Ramosha in Yoredeya Chelek Beis, Simen Mem Vav, says that he concludes the tshuva the following. What's that? Very last paragraph, right. Umitzad hakisi, he's talking about cheres. Umitzad hakisui de schuches. The veneer of the schuches, ein zet sipui mamish, shelachain ein lam din kli zechuches. Aval yeshach shiram ba'agola de gimel pam kidibiyarti. So Ramesha doesn't say black on white that not to do tefillah, but Ramesha does speak about China. This is the tshuva of Ramesha that we've already discussed. We didn't discuss all of Ramesha in detail, but the question of whether you're allowed to rely on the Chacham Tzvi of 12 months. And Ramesha Misiach Lefitumo, in concluding the tshuva, says, it's a cryptic expression, Mitzad Kisui Dischuches Ein Zet Sipui Mamish, Lachain Ein Lam Din Kli Zichuches, as a Din Kli Charis doesn't have a Din Zichuches. So you could extrapolate from Ramesha that Ramesha was agreeing with the idea that some of our great Rabbeim said, and that is that today's China is different, and it doesn't fall into the category of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Obviously, on this, Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chaim, and Rav Miller's safek about what somebody who comes to Eretz Yisrael, what they should do, that's a fascinating open question as well. Okay. Yes?
Did you say that if you bring your China that you bought in America to Eretz Yisrael, you should do tefillah now?
That's what was his safek, yeah. Well, I'll tell you his exact lashon. I saw it was a very striking lashon. He said that would mean someone who comes. He said, "Neretz Yisrael, the minig is to be tova." He says that means somebody who comes now, someone who was once in YU and he sells Neretz Yisrael, he should be tova as kalim. Then he stopped and he said, "Just joking." And then he said, "Maybe not." That was how it ended.
Maybe not, but I'm joking.
Yeshlach Kor is a piece of Gemara.
So.
It gets into a broader issue. Also, I mean, our kolel is an extension of our yeshiva in America. It's a fascinating. One day someone's going to one day write a question, Shas Lechuvas, about where does your hora come from? V'chule v'chule. It's a fascinating discussion. So, Rav Miller himself is very partial to the side that requires tefillas kelim. I discussed it with him again. I couldn't get out of him. How to exactly be miyashev, the exact ratio seifa and emtsah, exactly which one is the machriya what, but when he made that joke. But he is partial to the fact that he believes that there is a chiv of tefillah on China. So then it becomes not all why you rush the issue. Yeah, go ahead, Yisrael.
The shachas and cotton beads is more of a layer of glass as opposed to a coating of glass.
That's an interesting. You're talking about the shach. The shach is saying that mitzupim mischuchis is going to be chayiv because it's a layer. Correct.
As a coat.
That's a good right. I didn't use those terms, but that's a good term. Again, just to repeat what Rabbi Yisrael is saying, mitzupim is a layer, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger is a coat, and the question about China today is that it might even be less than that.
And the Chassam Sofer
we're
saying is what?
So Chassam Sofer is probably closest. I remember what Rabbi Yosef asked. I remember in the Kola we asked in New York as well. What exactly is Gluzirt and what exactly is Gishmas? So I think we need an NPR program to figure that out. Exactly what the two are. It's not clear to me exactly what they are. Could be Rabbi Tzvi Kohn has in his book, where he's mafaltel exactly what is the glazirt and what is the gishmatz. I don't know enough Yiddish to be able to answer that question.
The machlokes in the mice now is yes. Whether it's considered like a Rabbi Akiva Eiger
even less than that. Correct. Exactly. Yes.
Is the question because it's glass as opposed to a bar, or is the question because it's not as
I understood that the issue was that it wasn't as thick. That's how I was taught. The Rabbi Akiva Eiger is saying glazirt is less because it's thinner. Okay, now we come to the most important, the biggest topic today, which is probably the most fundamental topic of Hilchos Tefillas Kelim, and that is, what qualifies as Kli Seuda? One could take apart every word of the Mishnayos in Avodah Zarah, in terms of every word of the Mishnayos are in itself sugyas of how to be magdir the field of Tfilas Kelim, because the Mishnah says halokeach, so we need to define what is halokeach, somebody who buys from a goy, so that's going to be a topic. What qualifies as buying from a goy? Number two, or what qualifies as lokeach, let's not use any English words. Number two, kli tashmish. So our subject today is halokeach kli tashmish. What qualifies as kli tashmish? Now the Gemara describes that these kelim are kli seuda. These are kli seuda. The Gemara differentiates between a scissors and a marda and those things that are kli seuda that are going to be chayiv. That's what the Gemara describes over there on Ayin Hey on the base. So the Mechaber in Siv Dalet tells us the following. So now the topic is, what qualifies as kli seuda? Shri Padish, Sheshovsim Alehem Kedera. The best way to describe this is a tripod, that you put a kedera on top of this tripod, einam tunas tvila. It does not require tvila. Avol pidalish tunas tvila, mepnei nosnim aleihem hamaychal atzmo. So, to put it in colloquial terms, the tripod would be a tripod today, and the pidalish is something like the racks that are put on top of the fire, so those things require tvila. That's how the Shach explains in Sifkatan Tes, al vidalish tunas tvila, mepnei shetzolon of mamish ha'ochel, you fry the food on top of it, kenu lashon asmak, v'hainu shekorim, and he quotes a Yiddish word. Okay, so this is the fundamental si'if, or the first part, and that is, there are going to be two topics within Kli Seuda, one is Sif Dalet, and one is Sif Hei. Our first topic is that in order for it to qualify as a Kli that's Chayv Tvila, is according to the Shach, you have to fry on top of it, and if the pot, the case of the tripod, is sitting on, is holding something else that's holding the food, it's a, if you will, a 1 degree removed, if it's 1 degree removed, then in such a case, it's going to be putter from tvila. Now, obviously, we need to define that these two, this ratio and seifa, as precisely as we can. What exactly qualifies as a kli seuda, and what does not qualify as a kli seuda. So over here, there isn't a lot within the poskim on the page. We're going to see that on Si'if Hei, there is a tremendous amount of literature in the Rishonim and in the classic poskim. But in this issue of what qualifies as a kli seuda that serves the kli and is not 1 degree removed, that there's much less literature. So let's jump ahead to Reb Tzvi Kohn's Psak in page Nunhei, that's in your booklet. And let's read first the Psak itself and then analyze it. So in Perek Aleph Oz Dalid, Reb Tzvi Kohn writes as follows, Ein kli chayv v'tfila, Ella iminiachal of Michael Omashke b'li hefsek kliacher. So the background behind what he's saying, that the only time it's chayv tefila is if there is no hefsek, is sif dalit, is the difference between shri padish and pidalish. Okay. However, what qualifies as a hefsek? In fact, if you just went with the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, you can make a mistake. And that is, you could come to the following conclusion. Let's say, this is Ramiller Shlita's example, and it's Mukhrach L'chola Poskim. We're on the fifth page. Reb Tzvi Kohn's Psak is on the fifth page. If, let's say you have a bread basket, and your custom in the bread basket is that you put a napkin inside the bread basket to hold the bread. Why? It looks nicer. It just looks nicer. Is that bread basket chayiv in tefila? The answer is, L'chol HaDeos, yes. It is chayiv in tefila. In other words, people can make a mistake and think that the definition of the chiyuv tefila is whether the kli comes in contact, direct contact with the food, or it doesn't. And that is an incorrect hagdara. The hagdara is going to have to be something different. Okay? What exactly is the hagdara of the chiyuv? So let's take a look at Ozayin in the Sefer Tefillas Kelim. Ayin Beis Yosef v'Shulchan Aruch Yardei Asiv Dal b'Shem Asmak. V'chatzuva shaleh menechem asirei habishul ein tzarach tefila. The tripod that you put the pots on top, that doesn't require tefila. And here we go. V'kotzav alavush v'aruch ha-shulchan, the kli su'uda einam elam ha-shenogeya b'maychal atzmo v'lo b'kli shebo ha-maychal. That the simple reading of the Aruch HaShulchan is only those things that touch it. However, Ayin Be'er Agro, the Parsha Ksiv Kol Tovar Shiyovo Be'esh, Tavri Re'esh, Eze Dovar Shebo Be'esh, Tzarech Lashir Re'esh, Zeu Kli Su'uda Shebalua. Ma She'en Ken Kan De'ena Bolea, Kamo Shtei Kederos. So the Gra points out, Gra gives us a little bit more of a Hagdara. Says the Gra that we know that the Parsha of Tfila appears in the Parsha of Hagdala, and any item that has the ability to be boleya isur into the food item is going to be the type of kli that is going to be chayiv in tefillah. And if for whatever reason it can't, like the case of the tripod, because the tripod will not, if the tripod had isur inside, it would not go inside of the food. Why? Because it needs to go first from the tripod into the kli. Therefore, the tripod is going to be potter. And Rav Tzikon then sharpens this. V'hine, Aken she'tashmisho b'tzonon she'enam bolim tunin tefila ela ratzalomer kli suuda mikri kishah maichol nogea b'kli she'shayich she'yagia lidei chiyuv libun b'im yishdamish bo kemoshu be'esh. Ma she'en ken kishah'en ha'maichol nogea b'kli zeh she'en yochol la'agia lidei chiyuv libun lo mikri kli suuda. V'alken ein tzarech tefila. So number one, it needs to be, the food needs to be in such proximity that in theory, Blios Isser would go from that kli into the food. Okay. But that's not the only, that's not the full Hagdara. There's one more Hagdara. And that is whether the item that's in between the food and the kli is an item that in of itself would be considered a halachic hefsek. Is that hefsek halachically significant or not? So here Rav Shlomo Zalman gave us a very good example. Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal spoke about the following case. What happens if you have the Israeli milk containers? So for those who are listening in America, so here in Eretz Yisrael we have milk in bags. So is a container that holds the bags, would that be chayiv in tefilas kelim? Let's say it wasn't plastic, because plastic is potter. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says like this. Rav Shlomo Zalman says no. He says this, the kasev liagon Rav Shlomo Zalman, going down to the next paragraph. The kli shederech tashmisho hu aidei sakit sheyesh bo, kamo kad, shemachzikim bo chalav b'sakit shel nylon, or afil sakiyot shel nor, im rogilim lahotzi ulahachnis al yedei asakit nira dechashiv hefzik im kachu ikir tashmisha. If you normally take the food in and out with that bag, so then there is a real hefzik between the container and the milk itself. The bag you take in and out. Aval, here's the critical line, im rak al yedei prisat mata, but if you just put a napkin on top, ton tefila im bracha, then in such a case it's going to need tefila with a bracha. In other words, we need to decide whether between the tripod and the food there is a halachic kli in between the two. If there's something that's considered halachically a kli, that's a halachic hefsek between them. A napkin that you're simply putting on because of noi, or, for that matter, silver foil that you're putting on simply because you don't want the food to sully the racks, that isn't necessarily considered a halachic hefsek. If you never put down on your oven racks food except with a kli, you put it in a pot, so then in such a case, then there's no reason for the racks requiring tefillah. But if you put the food down, you don't have to put the, it's not an iser negiyah. It's not an iser negiyah. Even if there is something that's in between the two, If it's something like a foil or something like a napkin, so then in such a case, then that is still considered a kli hamishamish. That was what the Lashon HaGemara was. The Lashon was kli tashmish. It's considered a kli tashmish. It's defined in whether there's another kli that's inside. So go back to Rav Tzvi Cohen's Lashon. Hefsek niyar mata o nylon no nechshav lahefsek kapotim etzvila. Ach hefsek sakit niyar o nylon kishederach shimush hakli hino alidei sakio keelu poter es hakli mitzvila. So here we had a fascinating debate. With one of the rabbeim in Torah Shraga. I told Rav Andi Yudin that Rav Nevinzal. This was before we had begun learning the sugyas in together in the kolob. So I told him I had just seen the new sefer Ol Yaakov that has a lot of psakim from Rav Nevinzal, and I had seen a psak that some people found surprising, and that is that Rav Nevinzal was asked, if you turn to the next page, he was asked the following question: Kli zechuchit she'omed al ha'shulchan u'machzik sukariyot im atifa im chayev b'tfila. You have candies that are in wrappers. Are they chayiv in tvila? So some of the rabbanim here were surprised. The Rav Nevinzal's psak was that that candy dish does not require tvila. So let's take the shayla apart. If it's a candy dish that has candies with wrappers and candies without wrappers, right? Jellies come without wrappers. So then, of course, that candy dish is going to be chayiv. But Rav Nevinzal was talking about a case in which this candy dish was made specifically. It was made specifically for candies that have a wrapper, or the person is only going to use it for candies with a wrapper. So, to the surprise of some rabbanim, Rav Nevinzal paskin that there's no need for tefillah. What's the pshat? Rav Nevinzal is following Bedarche Moro. He's following in Rav Shlomo Zalman's Mahalach, and that it seems that Rav Nevinzal holds that's the same thing as the milk container. Just like the milk container, there's you never put the milk inside the container itself. There's always the bag that's inside of the container. There are exceptions. Every once in a while someone will do that. But as a rule of thumb, you don't put it inside of that container. So too, this candy dish, if the candy dish is only used, and that depends on the Das HaBalabayas. If the Balabayas is only using it, then it's no different, Rav Nevinzal argues, then the milk container, and therefore he holds that there would not be a chiyuv of tvila. Of course, Rav Nevinzal would agree that if you put other things on it, or you might put other things on it, then in such a case it would be chayiv in tvila if the food would come directly on it. It's possible to misunderstand his psak over here. He didn't mean to say that all candy dishes don't require tvila's kelim. But that's this basic yisod. If the item is there, the kli is there, and it's just holding something which itself holds the ochel, and the ochel will never be put directly on top of it, so then in such a case it's going to be pater. And Nevinzal understands that the candy wrapper is no different than the milk container, which is different than the silver foil. The silver foil is not there as a separate container. Silver foil is just simply there to prevent the racks from being sullied, and therefore racks would be chayiv tvila if a person puts the food directly on the racks, even if there is a silver foil that's being mafsik. And again, that's to rectify a common error that people make, that think that hilchos tvilas kelim is defined by negia. Now again, what's a little bit hard for us is that we don't have kadmonim that really, really flesh this out. I like to start with the Shach and the Taz, Piskei Tshuva, v'chulei. Here I'm starting with the Hagdoros from Shlomo Zalman, v'chulei, but that's what, I couldn't find really sharp Hagdoros prior to that period of time. So now let somebody could pass in a Shaila. So let's say Rav Schechter Shlita, Rav Miller reported, answered for the OU the following Shaila. You're sending Mishloach Manos. Okay, and some people nowadays send mishloach manos even on nice kelim. There was someone sending hamantashen, or Shechter deals with on a nice dish. On it, maybe the kai they wanted to send a crystal dish, but they also put hamantashen on the crystal dish. and they put a doily, they put in something like a napkin on top of the dish for the hamantashen, so as not to be, to have a chiyuv of tzvilas kelim. By the way, if it wouldn't have a chiyuv of tzvilas kelim, atzlif na'iver, then you should tell the person that you weren't tovel l'kli. But is that correct? Would putting down a doily be acceptable to get out of tzvilas kelim? So based on the above, the answer is no. And that's how Rav Shechter passed, and Rav Shechter said in such a case, there would be a chiyuv of tzvilas kelim. Shlomo Zalman, when he got married on Purim. It's a fascinating, his Torah, we've said over in the past, his Torah that he said over at his chasnas tish. So Rav Nevinzal told me that his family was quite poor and his wife's family was wealthier. So he said they sent them a beautiful mishloach manos, sent the Orbach. Rav Chaim Leib Orbach was a Rosh Yeshiva in Shari Shemayim. So Kabbalah Yeshiva. So they sent them a beautiful mishloach manos and a beautiful set of Rambam for Rav Shlomo Zalman for the chasana. So he said Rav Shlomo Zalman's parents didn't have anything to send back for mishloach manos. So they rearranged the food and they sent it back as the mishloach manos. And they said, and they wrote a letter of thank you. And then they wrote, an oif de shver Rambam. Now shver means two things. Shver means hard, and also a beautiful binding is also called a strong. So they said an oif de shver Rambam hab minishkein teretz. And on the shver Rambam, we don't have an answer for that. Difficult Rambam, we don't have an answer for. Yeah, Rav Yehuda.
I'm just to clarify what
yes. Yes, tefillas kelim requires a kli.
No,
the hefsek. What's amazing is that until last 50 years, I don't know if you could find a very, very clear Hagdara. Isn't that fascinating? So, look, where this is Torah history. I don't know. We need to work on it together. What I see from Shlomo Zalman's Hagdara is that it doesn't have to be a Kli. It has to be that it's normal to take the ochel in and out with that container, and not to put the ochel on top of the kli.
It's only if the container comes with the ochel.
What's that?
And that the hefsek can't be something that stays on the kli.
Maybe that's one way of being magdirit. I'm not sure. I'm reporting what my rebbeim said. I can't say that I've come to a formulation where I could say that A, B, and C are the criterion. Well, I'll tell you the criterion I do have that I do have. Number one is that the ochel is consistently moved in and out, and the ochel is never put directly on it. A, that's the case of the milk container. B is if the hefsek is only being put there either to protect the kli from stains or for some type of noi, all of those in the other direction, all of those two things are not considered a hefsek. What would your example be?
You keep stapled on a napkin because, like, it looks nice.
Right. It would seem to me that would be considered buckle to it. Yeah.
Even though it's always there and the people never touch the.
I can't imagine that type of kli if you would.
But
all right. Let's ask our rabbein. Let's formulate your question. Leave it off as a tzarachim. And your question being, what happens if you took something that's normally just simply a hefsek and you made it permanent onto the kli? What would the halacha be then in such a case? Let's leave that as a tzarachim. You had a hand. Yesh lefalpel, because here you've. It could be, or you could be mechalik. I want to ask our rabbi. Yeah.
I was just trying to clarify, but not really actually this way, but like that if you put something, you cook something, you put it right in the temple and you wrap it up. If you put it in your fridge.
That I think is partial. That's right. Even if you wrap it up afterwards.
What's the difference between that and a candy wrapper, which is also right. Outside the wrapper and they wrap it up afterwards, and you put it also not together.
Rav Nenzal is the biggest chiddush of all. That's why the rabbeim were surprised. You're right. You could say that the candy wrapper is no different than noi or silver foil.
Right.
And Rav Nenzal holds that the candy wrapper is like the milk bag.
Okay. Why? Well, so what's the difference?
Because Renemansal thinks that you have the candy wrapper, the candy in the candy wrapper, until you're ready to eat it, just like the milk. And so therefore, this is a base, just like the milk container is a base for the milk bag, so too, the candy dish is a base for the candy wrapper.
What do you use it as saying?
It's a separate entity the entire time, in contrast to the foil and to the noi, where there it's just put there for those reasons.
You put something in the same tin foil because you don't want it to be on your fridge racks, whatever it is. So I hear of Nemensal's
chiluk loud and clear. It's not a kli. It's not serving as a kli. What it's doing there is just protecting the rack. I think that there's a. What's that? No, the candy wrapper is there. Well, this will conclude. The candy wrapper is there to protect the candy. And it's part of the candy is always in the wrapper until you take it out right before you eat, just like the milk bag. I think Rav Nemensal's extension of Shlomo Zalman's Hagdara is interesting. In other words, it makes a lot of sense. Could you be mefalto and differentiate between the two? No, but it's, what he's doing is extending Rav Shlomo Zalman's Yisod. When I asked him that, he said yes, that was his process of thinking. Okay, so that's Hagdara number one that we need to give, and that is Hagdara of Kli Tashmish. And that is the question of what is considered to be Meshamish to Ochel versus something else. And those are the Hagdaras. Again, to crunch, the Hagdara that we have from Rav Tzvi Kohn, from Rav Shlomo Zalman, as well as Rav Schechter's Hagdara in regards to Noi. And that will be the difference between the tripod and the Pidyalish. Now going on to Sif Hei. We have a fascinating machlokas rishonim. Sakin shel shchita, a knife that is used for shchita. O sakin shemafshitim bo, the Rama adds. Or a sakin that is going to be used to skin an animal. So here we have a machlokas between the Mordechi and the Rav Yoh. Is there a chiyuv of tefila? Yesh mishom ha-shein etzarach tefila. V'yesh cholkin, says the Rama. Some say it doesn't require tefila, and some say it does require tefila. So let's be magdir that issue. L'chura, the machlokis we've shown him over here, revolves around the following. If you have a kli that is used in the process of making food, but is not towards the end or at the end, does not come in contact with it when it's already a prepared food, is there a chiyuv of tefila? So if you take a look at the Gra in Sif Katan Yud Aleph, the Gra says beautifully in the name of the Mordechi, in the second half of the Gra, V'zelo chashuv kli su'uda, sha'adayin tzricha tikun bishul otzliya d'l'umtza, from the Mordechi. That the Mordechi, and the diuk is that the Gemara in Chulin on Chesam Abeis talks about a sakin shel shchita requiring it to have hagala. Yet on Chesam Abeis in Chulin makes no mention of tefila, and in Avodah Zarah on Ayin Heim Abeis, every time we talk about doing hagala on a utensil from a guy, so then it always speaks about doing tefila. Why not? So it could be like the Mordechi says that here there is no chiyuv because. Adayin Sricha Tikun Bishul. Now this is an important shita, and for the Mechaber, this is his shita. And that is, the Mechaber is quite lenient, and Svardin could definitely use this as an important snif lahakel. We could also use it if we have many other snifim as well. And that is that when it comes to tvila, the only time is that tzchayiv is a item that is already on the derech shemetukan. It's already prepared as a food item. But if you're shechting with it, or you're being mafshit, in such a case, there isn't going to be a chiyuv of tefila. The Rama disagrees. The Rama holds anything that comes in contact with food is going to require tefila, even if the food is not misukan yet. Continues the Rama, v'tovla tovla below bracha. So our minig is that in these instances, we are tovel without a bracha. Says the Rama, Habarzalim, Shemisaknim behem hamatzos, Einam tzrichim tvila. The barzalim, these don't require tvila. What are these barzalim? So many understand that these barzalim are the homemakers of the matzahs. These are, it's a piece of metal. If you remember when we went for matzah baking, so at the end of the line, there's a fellow, by the way, those guys are real professionals. In fact, over the years, I've noticed it's basically the same guy who's always, you notice that in Russia, the same guy, that these guys are really, really mumchim. In one swipe, they put the holes through. It's a mumchus. So these are the barzalim, shemesaknim and mamatzos, einam tzrichim tefillah. So they don't need tefillah. So all the world asks, the shach, the taz, the gra, all of them ask, here we have, poskim, in contrast to the previous siftal, we didn't have poskim for agdaros. Here we're gonna have poskim for agdaros. So the Shach and the Taz and the Gra all ask, the Ramah himself, Mineu Bey, doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And that is, the Ramah seems to, earlier said, Tov le Tov lo below Bracha. And yet over here, he says, these things that come in contact with the food, so the food is not yet ready, the matzah is not yet ready. So that makes sense that according to the Mechaber, in such a case, maybe it doesn't require tefillah. But according to the Ramah, if a Sakin Shel Shchita needs tefillah, so too the Barzel should also require Tevila. This is the kasha that the shach asks, and the gra and the taz. So the gra's answer in sifkata and yudal, and the taz says this in greater arichus kedarko bekodesh in sifkata and zayin, is that einachanami. The Ramah himself doesn't paskin like this. The Ramah himself holds that you should do tefillah of the bracha, but for some reason it's hard to read back into the Ramah. But the Ramah here was being chozer aliba l'shitas Ha mechaber that sakin shel shchita doesn't need tefila, so too the barzalim as well don't need tefila as well. In other words, you might have thought that sakin shel shchita is even more removed from being mesukna olchal. Maybe the barzalim don't, and there would be chayv kamashulan. According to that shita, it's not going to be chayv. But the Ramah himself holds tov l'tov lo below bracha. The Ramah himself will say that you need to do tefila without a bracha. That pshat is a little bit difficult in the Ramah. And the Shach suggests another pshat. Let's take a look at the Shach in Sifkatan Yud Aleph Habarzlim. Kasha Divisa Veheter Klal Nunches Din Beis Dima Habarzlim Lasakin Shel Shchita Lasakin Shem Avshitim Baldein Sarach Tefila V'Kivan Da Adover Shem Lasakin Also Sarach Adayin Tikun Achev Im Kein Kivan De Klasav Arav The Sakin Shel Shchita Yesh Litbo Below Bracha Hu Adin Habarzlim. The same should apply to these Barzlim V'Nira The Sfira Del Arav Da Barzlim Gori Tvei. He holds that the homemakers are worse. She yevsher l'sham shel lemaychal acher. And I said to you that this is a special utensil that only a few people know how to use. So if it's a unique utensil that is only used for this, and that this is prior to when it's a ochel mesukan, then even the Ramah holds you're going to be potter. Since it's possible to use a lemaychal acher, so then it's considered a kli tashmish that's going to be chayiv in tefillah. Now this is, in lungus, you need to work on the shach. I'm not going to do that too much right now. But here the chiddush is that the kli sakin for shchita, since you could use it, and since it seems like it was used at times, To spread their cream cheese on not the cream cheese. So okay, very good. So since it could be used and possibly is used for other things as well, so then it's considered a kli tashmish. In contrast to the barzalim, it's not considered a kli tashmish for suda because it serves a very particular function. That's the teretz that the shach gives. So this shach begs a lamdos, because the shach is saying that even if you're not using it now to spread cream cheese, you're using it now for what? You're using it now for shchita. It's going to be chayv tefillah even beforehand, despite the fact that now you're not using it for something that's mesukan to be an ocha. But since it has that potential, then it's enough to be considered a kli tashmish. It's an interesting shach. I just want to share with you that I photocopied the Isser V'Heter. La Mitas HaDavar, what exactly is the shita of the Isser V'Heter himself? It's the Isser V'Heter who has these halachos. So, as I mentioned, it's a Rav Yahu's Mekel. So he quotes a Rav Yah. Rabbi Yamin Yashikoach, I use your Isser Veheter. I feel like I've been in the middle, no pun intended, in the Middle Ages until I came across his nice Isser Veheter. I hope it was okay that I. But you should know that Rav Nevin Sal Shlita will not take somebody else's sefer without rishos. He will never, he won't take somebody else's sefer. But the minute it's talk of a simple reading in Shulchan Aruch. But some say that that was once upon a time when it was parchment and it would easily tear. And today it doesn't apply. But Rav Nevin Sal goes with the simple reading of Shulchan Aruch. So I hope it was okay. Thank you very much. It makes me feel better. Okay, so. So let's take a look at the bottom of Shin Zayin. Because of Rav Yoh, take a look. Because of Rav Yoh, Sakin Shel Shchita Lo Bo Yitzvila, V'Lav Klisu Udahi. To Afilu Tzonein Haya Asalach Tofom Lo Badacha. By the way, for those who want to be Ma'ayin, I'm not sure exactly what he means when he says the Afilu Tzonein Haya Asalach Tofom Lo Badacha, what exactly he means. Somebody could teach me that, I'd be interested. V'Gam HaBasar Tzarech Adayim Bishlo Tzliya. Next page, V'Chein. Now the Yitzvah Hatta Aruch continues. V'Chein Kol Dover. She'ein mishamshin l'maychal haru'i l'achila k'mo shu'ata. Anything that doesn't serve the ocha right now, kigon hasakin shemachshitin behen hasampemos v'hamachtin shetofrin behem hamulyasa. The needle, in those days they used to stuff the chicken, and so they would literally sew the chicken clothes. Ein tzarach tefila. And then he just adds, aval ein lifgar machtin mitam she'ein miyuchad l'kach. Don't say that the needles are potter, because they're also used for sewing. They're not only used for food. Because the knife, the small knife that once upon a time was used to open envelopes, if you decide to use that knife to smear cream cheese, then you would need to do tefillah. But all of these things, he says, you don't need to do tevila at all. So I just want to point out that even though the Shach has a very interesting teretz, it's not the pashtus of the Yisr V'Heter. The pashtus of the Yisr V'Heter is that if you're using a utensil on an item that is not already an ochel, then in such a case you would not be chayiv to do tevila. Nevertheless, the psak halacha of the Ramah doesn't seem to be this way, and you need to either give the teretz of the Taz, or you go with the teretz of the Taz and Gra, that the Ramah was just speaking according to the other Shita, or you go with the Shach's Chiddush, that says that if it's a Kli that's also used, L'Sham Shel Dover Acher, so then in such a case, it would be Chayiv, but if it's not L'Sham Shel Dover Acher, then in such an instance, the halacha is going to be different. So this is the dion in regards to these utensils. Now what we're going to do is go on and see in the Shulchan Aruch similar examples where these themes repeat themselves. So first we're going to go through the Shulchan Aruch, then we'll see the examples in the Nosei Kalim, and then we'll talk about practical examples of Kalim today. First let's make it all work through the Shulchan Aruch, see what the Mechaber would say, what the Ramah would say, what the Shach would say, and then talk about practical examples. Continues the Halakha Ramah, V'chein kisui shekofin al hapas lafoso, aval kisui kedera sarach tefila. Kisui kedera is already in the last stage, it's going to be chayv and tefila, but kisui shekofin al hapas lafoso is going to be tolui in the above machlokis, as we mentioned before. Now, the poskim give a few other examples. The poskim on the page discuss a few cases. First, let's take a look at Rabbi Kiva Eiger. Says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, you know what? Let's do the Ramah and Siv Zayin. We're going to skip the Shulchan Aruch. First, do the Ramah and Siv Zayin, and then go to Rabbi Kiva Eiger. Says Ramah and Siv Zayin, V'chein rechayim shel pilpulin shebetocha eitz yesh barzel kavua shetochnim bo sarach tvila. If you have a pepper grinder that shebetocha eitz, inside of the wood there's barzel that's used to grind. In other words, the grinding actually takes place al yidei barzel, even though the pepper grinder, majority of it is wood. Think of today's even a table pepper grinders, right? Most of it is often wood, but the actual grinding material is the metal itself. So the Rama says it needs tefillah. Rama says in such a case it needs tefillah. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, on that v'chein rechaim shel pilpulin, v'rechaim shel kafeh, the coffee grinders. So then, lahataz tovul below bracha. According to the Taz, you have to be tovul it without a bracha because it'll be like sakin shel shchita. Even though the coffee is not yet ready, the coffee still needs to be cooked. Remember, coffee means, you know, the Turkish coffee that most of us Americans don't particularly enjoy. It's not already a Nescafe coffee. It needs to be, the coffee itself needs to be cooked. So since the coffee needs to be cooked, so then it's really like a Sakin Shel Shchita. So therefore, when it comes to the Sakin Shel Shchita, it's going to be Tolin Machlokes Mechaber Ramah. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, following the Ashkenazic Psak, points out that according to the Taz, it will be Tova without a bracha, just like a Sakin Shel Shchita. Lehashach, this is a Gishmak in Nachkamina, according to the Shach, Yeshlom Adain Tzarech Tefillah, the Lochazil Davar Acher. But according to the Shach, who said, who was Miyashev the Issa Veheter, who said that the halacha is that the only time it's chayiv b'tefillah, if it's prior to it being cooked, is that it has another purpose. So the rechaim shel kafeh are only used as coffee grinder. So then in such a case, it's going to be potter from tefillah. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger's application. I would like to add, the little that I understand, you know that I have a tremendous reverence for the Shach, but the little that I understand, the Shach's teretz in my mind is not muchrot in the Isser v'heter, and Lania's daiti, it would seem to me that one should follow the Yigra and the Taz, l'chumra, and that would mean that any time you have a food item that comes in contact with the food, however we've defined it within Sif Dalid, in such a case there would be a chiyuv tefillah below bracha for Ashkenazim, for Sephardim there wouldn't be a chiyuv tefillah, and therefore the coffee grinder would fall into that category. Question though is, why was the Shach not masig on the Ramah? Why did the Shach not say by Rechaim Shel Pilpulin? So when I learned this years ago, I was learning with one of Rabbi Yisrael's Rabbeim, my friend Rav Ami Merzel. So I wrote down in Tav Shinayin Gimel when we were learning this. I think you were in the yeshiva at the time. Tav Shinayin Gimel was so when we were learning this, I jotted down as a tzarech iyun that l'churi you would have expected the Shach to be masig by Rechaim Shel Pilpulin, because Rechaim Shel Pilpulin doesn't have any other purpose as well. So in Tavshin Ayin Ches, I found that the Chelkas Binyamin, last page in your booklet, in Dibra Maskel Lechein Rechaim, quotes the Aruch HaShulchan who asks this question, and you can take a look at his answer. Why was the Shach not be Masig? Because then you would expect by Rechaim Shel Pilpulin, it has only one purpose, just like Rabbi Kiva Eger had pointed out on... About just like Rabbi Kiva Eger had pointed out in regards to coffee. Yeah, by the, you have Rabbi Yosef's underline over here, so it's not only Rabbi Yom's sperm that I've been using. So he was also bothered by his kashas. That's Aruch HaShulchan's kashas. You can take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan's at the Chelkas Binyamin's teretz. But I have a kosev ashlishi to be miyashe. When I was listening to Ramiller Shiurim, so Yonatan Dorfman asked Ramiller a similar type of question, and Ramiller pushed him off very, very quickly, and he said, you didn't understand the Metzius. He said, the Rechaim Shel Pilpulin, he said, is not a pepper grinder like a coffee grinder that's sitting in your cupboard, that you grind the coffee and then you put it in a jar, and when you have the coffee, you use it. Rather, Rechaim Shel Pilpulin, Rav Miller understood, was the pepper grinder that's sitting on the table in the restaurant. That's what you assumed also, Rabbi Yamin. Yeah. So, that and you put it directly into the food. So if that's so, then even the Shach would agree. Then in such a case, that's already considered being an Ochel Muchan. It's not like a sack in Shel Shechita. It's right into the food. So then that would be, that's the case that the Rambam learned. But then I saw that even though Rav Miller Shechita took that as a Dabar Pasha, the Chalkos Beyam, that's a Kasha, it's an Aruch HaShulchan's Kasha, v'chulei v'chulei. So, Torah mitgalgelet. So this is the deal as far as that's concerned. So bottom line, so what do we have? Just one second, I just want to crunch now. We have bottom line is it all starts with machlokis in regards to sak and shel shechita. Is sak and shel shechita chayiv? Doesn't need to be ochel muchan. For svardim, it's very important to know that svardim have a tremendous kula, that only those things that are working on, those kelim that are working on ochel muchan, and also needs to be defined a little bit more, what qualifies ochel muchan is going to be chayiv and tefilas kelim. Anything prior isn't going to be. Rabbi Kiva Eger suggests that a coffee grinder is going to be totally in the shach. When he is daiti, one should be machmir because the pashtus of a heter is not like the way the shach tries to be miyashiv, even though it's a brilliant answer in of itself. And now we're ready just to wrap up with the and then we have the kasha. Why is the shach not masig? Either you say it's a good kasha and you take a look at Chalkos Ben Yamin's answer, or if Miller on the spot answered Yonatan, that we're talking about a slightly different pepper grinder, but maybe there's room to be makil on a different pepper grinder according to the shach. Just one more point in the Pisrei Tshuvas of Katan Ches, and then I will get to some modern day kalim. The most complicated ones we'll leave for when we wrap up, but the more simple examples we'll get to shortly. In Pisrei Tshuvas of Katan Ches, just see quotes, just basically the same thing we've seen up until now. Ayin b'sheila siyavit, shikasa d'rechayim shetokhna ben ha-polim, ha-kluyim shosim emash ha-kaveh, nir d'chayovim b'tfila, d'odif mirechayim shel pilpulim. The Yavit said that there is even more reason to be mechayiv, the coffee grinder, than the pepper grinder. V'nir d'bezeh tfila below bracha, kivin tzarech bishul. But the Pisrei Tshuva concludes that because it's something that needs to still be cooked, so then in such a case, it's like sak and shel shechita, and it would have tefillah without a bracha. What about the matzah holders? We've been baking the matzahs together. So now you have we spoke about the matzah hole maker, and then the matzahs, after they come out of the oven, so then we put them on the metal bars that are holding the matzahs. So in such a case, so in Sif Katan Zayin, the Pisrei Tshuva quotes a Prima Gadim, Blechen Sheminicha Matzahs Aleihem, Af L'Shach Tzarech Tvila, D'Chazi L'Tashmish Meichel Mamish, could be used for a Meichel Mamish. These, by the way, seem to be talking about before the matzah is entirely finished. And he says, since it's possible, the Tashmish Meichel Acher, then in such a case, it's going to be it will be chayiv in tefila according to the shach. Finally, the pri chadash in Dibar Maskel Osakin does not like the shach at all. He concludes in Sif in Dibar Maskel Osakin the ein ze mechuver klal b'taymo d'ma bikach sheyev shel shamish bo l'maychal acher. He says, why would it be important that a sakin shel shechita could be used l'maychal acher versus the barzelim that can't be used for a maychal acher? Sof Hare mishtamish. At the end of the day, you're using it. In this case, he's talking about cases scissors that are used to prepare food. So scissors that would be used to prepare food will also be chayiv in tefillah, he argues, and he, the Pri Chadash, does not like the Shach's mahalach altogether. Hayotze midvareinu, just a few examples, and then I'll take your questions. Hayotze midvareinu, those items that come directly in contact with the food, even if the food is not entirely prepared, for Ashkenazim, there will be a chiyuv of tefillah. So, for example, if any type of scissors, sometimes you have cooking scissors, that are used to help prepare food, in such a case, that will also be chayiv in tefillah. On the other hand, those items that, a cookie cutter, be chayiv in tefillah's kelim, even though the cookie cutter you only use tefillah's kelim without a bracha for Ashkenazim, for Sfardim, a cookie cutter would not be chayiv in tefillah's kelim. Well, some items that would be potter, a corkscrew. A corkscrew, there's no, is generally, not, doesn't come in contact with the ochel. And since it doesn't come in contact with the ochel, it's not going to be chayv in tefilas kehem. The fact that it incidentally comes in contact with the ochel, but it's not made for that, is not going to be chayv. It's not the hilchos blios. You know, you don't have to be concerned that there's blios iser or something like that. Even if it was hot, of course, v'chulei v'chulei. Another example of something that is generally associated with food, but would definitely not be chayv, would be a can opener. A can opener, even if the can opener falls into the kalim, the kli falls into the food. In such a case, there wouldn't be a chiyuv. There is a fascinating diyun in the post, maybe we'll get back to, in regards to a nutcracker. How do you look at a nutcracker? Do you look at a nutcracker as a kli that's being mishtamish to ochel or not? So the way Rav Miller Shlita presented it is that Rav Vosner said absolutely not. It's not considered a kli that's being mishamish to ochel. The shell, it breaks the shell and that's it. And Rav Shlomo Zalman was no to the chumra. By the way, it's awesome to see. If I'm not mistaken, the Ol Yaakov has the question of nutcracker, and Rav Nevinstal says that there would be a chiyuv just like his Rebbe did as well. So that there would be. In fact, Yonatan told me something very, very beautiful. He said that he went to Zilberstein, and he showed Zilberstein a haskam about something from Rav Nevinstal. And he said, so when you're talking to Rav Nevinstal, you're talking to Rav Shlomo. When Rav Nevinstal says something, I said, Rav Shlomo Zalman today says something. So that's Rav Shlomo Zalman's Atzal Shita. And Ramosha was Mesufik about it. Ramosha was Choker. How do you look at the shell? Is the shell considered a nutshell? Is that considered an Ochel or not? The fact that incidentally, touches the nuts, the pashtus wouldn't be significant. Taka here, Rav Shlomo Zalman's Sfar requires a little bit more libun, and then Mirat Seshem will do down the line. Let me take your horrors. Yeah.
When you have to grind pepper,
do you remember if I made a shahakol? I didn't drink, right? Does anybody remember? I don't think I drank. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'dvaro.
After you grind pepper, you don't need to cook it. Like, there's nothing you need, it's ready to eat. Like, most people don't eat pepper plain, you put it on something, but there's nothing else you need to do to it, even if it's in the cupboard.
Right.
It's done, it's ready.
Right. I think one of the most kalim, I think that's the pshat. Right. Yeah, it's probably what Yosef said, that since not roi l'achilu v'atzmo, then in such a case it's already... It's not considered fully considered an ochel yet. No, it only becomes an ochel when it goes into the food. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah, Rabbi.
How far back in the process of preparing the food is it considered a piece of the?
Right. In other words, your question is important. Well, both in terms of bracha for Ashkenazim, as well as for Chiyuv Tefillah for Svardim. How far removed does it have to be? It seems to me that all it needs is one degree of separation. As long as there's one degree of separation, that the Meichel is not ready yet, so then in such a case, then it would...
No, after two
degrees of separation, Kavu Chomer.
No, do you need Tefillah at all?
You're saying for Ashkenazim?
Yeah.
I think there's 5 degrees of separation in Sakin Shel Shchita. So if Sakin Shel Shchita, the halacha is that there's a chiyuv of tefillah, assuming not like the Shach. The Shach made things complicated. But assuming not like the Shach. Sakin Shel Shchita, if 5 degrees removed, then in such a case, then everything.
I use a shovel to pull out the vegetables from the ground. It comes in contact with the food.
No. That's because Amir Tzeshem next year, alumnus in Hilchos Shabbos, that it could very well be that it doesn't even have a shame ochel when it's still in the field. It's going to be a nafkamina in Hilchos Shabbos. When does it have a din? Does it have a din ochel? So that will be. What's that?
In the shovel now when it's out of the ground.
Yeah, I'm arguing that could be that in terms of. in terms of Hechsher Kelim, and maybe in certain cases in Hilchos Shabbos, it might not even be considered an Hilchos Get. I would say that that's all part of the process of Kotzer, and that, and in the process of Kotzer, there is not, there wouldn't be a thief.
Okay.
Further on. Okay. Go ahead. That might be the critical, the turning point. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying that.
What's the next example?
I washed the potato. Now I'm ready to. I cut off the.
Right. That's the Misparayim case. If those who want to look inside, we didn't go through all of it. The Pri Chodesh quotes a Bach. Maskel Osakin. The post can come out that the halacha is that the moment in which you're using misparayim in the house, let's say to cut the roots already off of the, then you'd be chayv.
And it's industrial. It would be different.
Oh, so what we've not discussed is kli schora. There is a discussion in the postkin that kli schora might be different. Now, kli schora generally is understood as business utensils. So it could very well be that in a manufacturing setting, an industrial setting, that there's room to say that Kli Schora doesn't require Tevila. That the Darkei Moshe makes reference to, in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to come to that, we'll come to that next week. This might be a convenient place to stop. All right, I was planning to do Maimid, but Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick up on Thursday with Maimid. Yeah. Oh, very good. Ad Kidei Kach. Ad Kidei Kach, that we're going to discuss just upcoming attractions, that it could be that if you go to a restaurant and the restaurant is not Tovel the Kalim, then that might be called Kli Schora and you might be able to eat there. Because that's considered Kli Schora. That's a little bit of a chiddush in what the definition of Kli Schora is, but that's how broad some will use the hetzer of Kli Schora. Okay, keep on pounding away. It's already 4:10, so I'll leave the sugya of Maimid and Mirtz Hashem for next time. Please bring the booklets, because there's still a lot in this booklet on Maimid.